Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, all you children of sex, and yes, we are all children of sex. With a capital X. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, come on, congregation.
Amen.
Can I get an A women?
Amen.
Everybody always does that one better. Well, welcome to the little love church of the Bonobo Way in the village of Bonoboville. And it's my 10th bedside chat of the coronapocalypse, inspired by the great FDR's fireside chats. And speaking of fires, if you're tuned in live, America is on fire. Fire and fury. Righteous fury and raging fires shining a light on racist police brutality. Yes, indeed. George Floyd dying and crying. I can't breathe. With a policeman's knee to his neck. Breonna Taylor shot to death by police breaking into the wrong apartment. Brothers and sisters, Ahmaud Arbery shot to death while running by a guy that sometimes works with the police. And that's just the past week, and that's just the more famous, obvious ones caught on tape. So America is on fire, shining the light of an ugly truth we've been grappling with since white Europeans stole this land from Native Americans and got rich through the slavery of Africans. And these huge protests that are going on right now, if you're tuned in live, well, they're mostly peaceful, and actually most people are wearing masks for various reasons, but you know, some of them are physical distancing, not so much, but there are definitely a lot of them wearing masks. And in Beverly Hills, they're striding through the streets peacefully, You can see the palm trees. Where are they? Yeah, there they are.
Palm
okay.
trees. Watch out.
And here they're shouting, eat the rich. Of course, we know they're talking about cannolis. Rich. Rich, rich food. So, yeah. I don't think they're burning anything in Beverly Hills, but the fires of truth are raging in many places, Los Angeles, Atlanta, Minneapolis, many places. And they are enlightening, but they are also destroying. I mean, you know, it's a dangerous place out there in protest land. All respect to the protesters, but I do recognize the need for a calming voice to kind of calm the fire, the flames of rage. And the Trumpists. Well, the Trumpus certainly needs a good spanking. Whack, whack, whack. Drink your bleach, you naughty presidents. Drink that bleach. You tell everybody else to drink it, you drink it. And yes, instead of calming the flames of rage, he's adding fuel to the fire, saying, when the looting starts, the shooting starts, how dare you, quoting that racist Alabama governor, George Wallace, the racist of the racists, you know? And he was actually quoting a Miami police chief. When the looting starts, the shooting starts? We'll shoot that bleach up your ass. Yes, indeed, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners. That means he's threatening to kill protesters, and of course Twitter recognizes this. Even Twitter, where everybody threatens everybody. But yeah, they think this is a little beyond the pale and have put up a warning, which of course he's trying to get a presidential order to stop, and that won't work, but maybe he'll instill fear in Marky Z. Huh, Marky? Are you afraid of the Trumpus? We keep him in a mask, or gagged, even though he won't wear a mask. Or stay under gag order, like he should. So, yeah. He's also calling for MAGA night, even though he's down in Florida. But I guess he wants his MAGA guys, the maggots, to attack the protesters at the White House, and that is what they are doing. And of course, these protesters, they're not rioters. Maybe there's a few rioters, and half of those rioters or more are MAGA guys, maggots. But the protesters are protesting brutality and sadism. Yes, sadism. And yes, it is a sexual fetish. And yeah, I mean, you can express it consensually. You can, with a consensual masochist, I guess. I know. You can. And it can be a lot of fun. But of course, non-consensual sadism of the kind that some of our police exhibit is, it's the worst. Pressing your knee into the neck of a handcuffed guy for 9 minutes. 9 minutes. As he pleads, "I can't breathe." That's pure sadism. You know that's what that is. Maybe he was nervous, but he was digging on it, pressing his knee into his neck. And interestingly, this cop, it's almost too good a word for him. It is, even though cops in general can be problematic. They're not all this bad. And this guy, Derek Chauvin, I guess, he actually knew George Floyd. This was personal. They were both bouncers at the same bar. And the owner said, "I don't think they knew each other. They didn't really, well, I don't know about that. I'm sure they knew each other. I'm sure he knew, Derek Chauvin knew who George Floyd was. And likely they interacted. And also likely that there was some, you know, jealousy involved. I bet George got all the girls. Huh, Derek? I bet he did. Tall, dark, and handsome. And you couldn't make it. And so you killed him. You fuck. You sadist." Sadist is too good a word for him. Because there are consensual sadists. But this was a non-consensual, personal, sadistic murder done under color of law. And when former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick and some others took a knee to protest the police knees and the guns that were and still are killing people. There's a picture over there. Well, killing people for doing nothing but being black. What did Trump call them? Sons of bitches! Sons of bitches. Nice. Now, Trump has his knee, right on the neck of democracy in America. Yes, indeed. And if we don't get him off of us, he will kill democracy in America. He's doing it. The 9 minutes. Well, it's taking a little longer, but, you know, we're a big country. Floyd was a big guy, but, you know, this is bigger, takes longer. But it is a killing, nevertheless. You know how he said he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and he wouldn't lose any support? Well, he's shooting and putting his knee on the neck of democracy in America, and his supporters are right along with him. And they're getting a sadistic thrill out of seeing these things. And that's why just seeing them is not enough at all. It's great to be able to see these things, these tapes, and it's amazing. You really see what's happening, and it's been happening for so long and worse, but now we see it. But seeing it is not enough, apparently, because we've been seeing it for a few years now. And I even think it turns some people on. It's very gross. but I know people's turn-ons can be very gross. And if you keep it to yourself, it's okay, but when you let it guide your hand into shooting a bunch of people or putting your knee on someone's neck or taking down a whole fucking country, well, that's non-consensual. That's wrong. So, if we don't get him off our neck, he's gonna kill us all. He's already killing a bunch of us. I mean, COVID deaths have surpassed 100,000 here in America. And yeah, a lot of these people can't breathe in their last moments. Sort of the mantra of the Trump administration. I can't breathe. So the Trumpist rumpus has got to go. But our society also needs more systemic changes in lots of things, you know, that I don't have time to go into. But we got to combat the racism, the sexism, the capitalism, and the cult of death that's been here long before Trump. And speaking of violent sexism, we'll have a little commercial now for my article in Counterpunch. Woohoo! Yes, indeed. And it's on incel terrorism. Incels who take their cues from the whiner in chief.
Hello?
He's not an incel, but I guess. Although at this point, I'm sure Melania is not sleeping with him, and probably none of the sex workers will either, so maybe he is. But incel terrorism in Counterpunch. Read all about it. And on the lighter side, if you're tuned in live, it is Masturbation Month. Woohoo! Yes, indeed. And though we mourn the dead, a lot of dead. Well, you know, we also want to have a good time and celebrate and enjoy life. Is that yours? Oh, there's Sunshine playing her vibe. All right.
And mine's really loud.
This is Sunshine and her favorite vibrator.
My only vibrator.
My favorite vibrator is my Hitachi. Woo! So before I have my guest, I am going to talk with Chris.
All right, so I'll put you on the air right now.
Hello, Chris.
How are you?
I'm doing good, considering, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and there's terrible police brutality going on, and I'm heartened by people protesting, but of course the police are being brutal to the protesters. But other than that, I'm fine. I'm actually, you know, blessed, great.
Yeah.
How about
that's,
you?
That's good to hear, yeah. I'm staying safe, I'm staying indoors. I'm
good.
Hunkered down.
Good,
yeah,
well now that my crew is kind of settled in place, I think, mm-hmm. I'm gonna take my mask down. I don't know if you're looking at the show.
I was listening for a while.
You were listening, okay. Mm-hmm. And now you're watching. And is that a picture of you, Chris Logan, on my my screen? I think you could show that. Yes,
I can't
Amy.
See that. Yeah, I can only hear the audio.
I think
okay, that's
Twitter.
Cool. That's cool. I can see you, and it shows you in your sexy underwear and. And it also shows a bull, New York
yeah.
City bull
yeah,
experience.
I kind of stumbled into that, actually. I've been fascinated by the last show for a while, but, you know, it kind of accidentally happened. I kind of accidentally came into the lifestyle.
Yeah, you got into the lifestyle, meaning the cuckold lifestyle as a bull. I should explain this because most people, you know, they think a bull is something, a non-human animal that the Spaniards fight with a big red cape, you know, and that's a kind of a bull. But this is a bull that is usually a man, could be a woman or a gender fluid person, but usually a man who has sex with another man's wife. And that other man is often called a cuckold. You know, whether he likes it or not, whether he is approving or not, those are the terminologies. And the woman would be called a hot wife. So Chris, fortunately, participates in consensual cuckolding, right? You don't cheat with the wife, or do you?
It has happened before, but I've met wives that cheated on their husbands, but I don't do that anymore. I'm trying to stick with couples that have this arrangement already. It just seems more logical, yeah.
It's fun. Just better. It's nicer.
Fun. Yeah, it is. I like, it's kind of a stability, you know.
It's interesting that you say it's more logical. I guess it is. It makes more sense. You're probably not going to get shot this way.
That's an upside, yeah.
You know, I mean, the husband is agreeing. I mean, husbands can still get jealous anyway and lose their cookies, you know. But it's more likely.
I like talking out with them, you know, getting to know this, what they're okay with, what they're not okay with, you know. You got to communicate before you do anything.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you have an air of excitement to your voice right now.
Yeah. I'm always, I've been cooped up for a while, so I'm always excited, you know.
Yeah, I guess you are cooped up because it's not like you're living with a couple. You usually hook up with them through what?
Just various sources. They contact me through FetLife.
FetLife?
No.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What are you on FetLife? How can people find you?
Oh, my FetLife, my username is Chris Logan, just Chris Logan.
Okay. Now, I think it was you who posted a comment, a very nice comment, on another show that I did about where there was a call from a cuckold. And is it you? Did you do that? Did you post that comment?
Your comment.
Yeah, and you called yourself Mr. B. Right?
I wasn't listening to it. I just replied to it, you know.
What, you called yourself Mr. B? No?
No. I'm Chris Logan. You were talking about a white.
Oh, so this is a whole other bull that responded to my cuckolding show. Okay, well, you're not Mr. B. I thought it was cute because Mr. B, you know, both from Sex and the City, that Mr. B, Mr. Big.
Yeah.
And I guess you must be a Mr. Big or Mr. Yeah. Bull.
Uh-huh. So you were talking, it was, you were commenting on about a white old couple who's a white Christian. His wife's pregnant with the lover, and he's Muslim. And I commented that, you know,
Right.
It's been, life is stranger than fiction. I've done that before, you know. It was to me, in my case, it was a Hispanic couple. They were around my age. Right now I'm 29.
Uh-huh.
I was around 22 at the time, and they were like 19 and 20. They've been together for a while. So, you know,
So you knocked her up? You impregnated the wife?
Yes, I did. Well,
and they wanted you to. This was something that everybody wanted.
This is something that everybody wanted. But, you know, it progressed over time. Started off as a threesome, and, you know, it went up to, you know, it kind of evolved to, you know, where I was the alpha in the relationship.
The alpha. Mm-hmm. How does it make you feel to be the alpha in a three-way relationship?
Definitely a big head rush. You know, you kind of have, you're on a power trip and they're expecting something of you that you wanted.
Wow.
Very primal. I like it, you know, just.
Uh-huh. It is a way to exert your dominance. You know, we're talking a little bit tonight about police being out of control, and a lot of them have a need to be dominant. And I guess there are good ways to be dominant and bad ways, of course, like anything else. Of course, being dominant in a bad way can get somebody killed, so it's particularly dangerous. But it's great that you found a way to exercise your desire for dominance in something that pleases other people.
Can I ask, when did you...
Go ahead.
When did you start cuckolding? Getting, yeah, cuckolding.
Officially in 2014.
2014.
But I've actually been interested. I've been interested in this lifestyle since I was actually 16.
Really? Did you hear what it was? Did you hear about cuckolding and you thought, I want to be a bull?
I found the lifestyle very fascinating, and, you know, over the years, it's been my main thing. It just evolved into something that I want to live as a lifestyle.
Uh-huh. And did you like the idea of having sex with another man's wife?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely... That's... I like the enjoyment of it, just dominating and, you know, just pumping my potent seed in another man's fertile wife.
Pumping your potency. I'm going to have to write that down. I like that. I thought you were going to say, you know, your sperm. And, of course, that would remind me of Sperm Wars, which is one of the...
I've listened to your talk about Sperm Wars for a while. I'm very fascinated about that, too.
Well, you know, it's operative in the bull, too. It's one of the reasons that a lot of guys do get excited at the idea of having sex with a woman who's with another man, whether she just walks into a bar with him or she's married to him. It's exciting to a lot of men, and I think that's almost common knowledge. What's not such common knowledge is that the husband can also get excited by his wife being with another man. That's really exciting, because our society kind of puts that down, denigrates that, which is one of the reasons we have a lot of our problems, you know, because so many guys like that, and then they feel shame, they feel bad about it. But it sounds like you really help guys to, you know, kind of embrace their desire to have their woman penetrated and even impregnated by a bull.
Yeah, I mean, I see myself as a sperm donor, which I actually am on the
planet. Oh, you're a sperm donor. Wow.
Yeah, I'm a private sperm donor. I help out lesbian couples and, you know, even some infertile couples have kids.
Do you do this for fun or do you get paid?
I do for fun, but I see it as, like, you know, I'm just helping someone make a family. And, you know, I want to make, you know, I want to help spread my seed as well, and that's something new for me. But, you know, after the fact, I'm happy I helped someone out and helped create a family.
Wow. Well, that's very interesting, Chris, because, you know, we think of dominant guys as, you know, they're just very selfish. They want what they want for themselves. But it's true. A lot of dominant people want to help out. They want to help somebody through dominating. You know, I mean, I think a lot of female dominatrixes are like that, femdoms. And a lot of good men are like that, you know, when they want to be manly and in charge, and they are that way naturally. And yet, you know, they want people to want their skills and they want to help, you know. I mean, that's the whole principle of being a fireman or something, even though there are firefighters and there are women among them. But yeah, it's wanting to help with your big hose.
Another thing is that a lot of the husbands, it's ideal to be friends with them, you know. Like, porn has it as, like, you're being an asshole to the husband as a bull, which is not actually reality of it. The reality of it is you're just buddies. You actually become good friends with the couple because, you know, it's like a push and pull. You're pushing, you know, you're kind of, like, pulling his women, and he's, like, pushing her towards the bull. You know, ideally, like, the husband, I like it when, like, the husband has his wife's legs spread apart for me to, well, so I could just, you know, fuck her and kiss her, you know.
All right. Well, bye, Chris. Wow. Moving right along. Let's switch into gears for our featured guest. I'm so excited. My featured guest is porn legend, star of over 70 films and videos from the golden age of porn in the mid-1980s. Known for her back east, girl next door, good looks, and great go for it Boston accented personality. Spunky in more ways than one. And as an anal queen, yes indeed, brothers and sisters, the anal queen next door for her penetrating, stimulating performances in Caught from Behind 4 and much more. And who am I talking about? Well, this is not a guessing game. Kelly Richards, come on. Kelly Richards, come on. And here she is, coming on DrSusie.tv, Kelly Richards. Wow. Looking good. So excited.
So exciting to be here, even though I'd rather be on a set with you, of course.
Of course, I would too. But, you know, these are times of compromise, I think. And, you know, you can't be with the one you want. You can at least Skype with that person or Zoom.
Right.
Right. Kelly Richards, back in the business. After over 30 years. Wow.
34.
Wow.
34 years.
34 years.
34.
Well, congratulations. You're a survivor.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's good to be back, actually. I missed.
For sure.
I missed it.
I guess so. And I want to hear all about you. I want to talk about your life and... you know, I know it's been tough. You've had a kind of a tough life, at least from what I've read and heard. But you've got to have a good sense of humor, and you've got to be a survivor. And,
absolutely.
And I think you've learned a lot that, you know, can probably help a lot of people. You know, in
well,
and out of the sex industry.
Intention.
Yeah. So. First of all, before we get into your porn career, which until you made your comeback lasted all of 2 years, but you made, whoa, you, yeah.
I slid right down the bed.
It sounds like a sex position.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But you made a splash. You made such an impression. You have so many fans out there.
No idea. I had no idea.
What?
Now you do. You just had a birthday, and you had a lot of good birthday wishes, didn't you?
I did. I have to tell you, that's probably the most wishes I've ever received in my entire life.
Really?
I'm so blessed. So blessed.
That's
today.
The magic of Twitter. And the rest of the internet too. You know, you get all, you can hear from your fans instantly, you know, and it's very convenient. So you were born in Boston, I guess, right?
I was born in Massachusetts.
Uh-huh. A big family, big Italian, Irish family.
I'm the youngest of eight. I'm the youngest of eight.
The youngest.
Wow.
The baby. The baby girl.
The baby goat. The baby scapegoat.
Yeah. Oh, the baby scapegoat. Yeah, your mom was very strict. And I guess...
I don't know that she was very strict, but she was all... Also misplaced.
Misplaced.
And I mean it. Look, I love my mother. I love her very much. I just don't like her very much, if that makes any sense to anybody.
Yes, it does. That's, you know, how a lot of people feel about their parents and their kids, too. But more about their parents. But she had a wooden spoon, from what I heard, that she wielded a weapon of ass destruction.
Yep. You back then they could do that. So, you know, you went across you were placed right across the knees, pants pulled down and beat with that wooden spoon. The boys got the police belt.
Wow. The police belt.
Yeah.
And you're Well, yeah. First of all, I just want to say I'm totally into spanking when it's consensual, but I don't feel that this was consensual. I mean, obviously you cannot have a consensual spanking with a child, so don't spank your kids, only spank consenting adults. That being said...
Right. And when they say that's all, is that all you got? You better learn to spank harder.
Wow. You were a wise guy kid. Is that what you'd say to your mom? Wow. So your dad was a cop, right?
My dad was a cop.
But he was a good cop,
we should
say. My dad
was also a laborer, too. He worked two jobs.
Wow. He was a hard worker.
He was. And thank God for that, because he instilled those work ethics. Thank you.
You're a hard worker. Yeah. You really are.
I try to be.
Yeah.
I am. I'm a workaholic.
Well,
that
might be a bit much.
Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, you work it. You work it, girl.
I try to work it. I'm trying to work that DP if someone would book me for it.
Book her for a DP.
Book her for a DP.
Double penetration. So, your dad, I don't know. It was so disturbing to hear. Can you say what happened? Because I think it affected you. And he left you at an early age when you were 12.
I think I wouldn't put it that way that he left me. I don't think, you know, I think had he been in a rational mind, he wouldn't have intentionally left me.
Yeah.
And I hate to single me out, but being the youngest and much, in the age difference between my siblings were 2 years each, till you got down to the seventh child. And then to me, it was 5 years. So, you know, for me, I hold on to that with him, is that he wanted to have a little girl named Kellyanne.
Aww.
Even though my mother didn't want to have any more children. And here came Kellyanne. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he was my hero, but my dad was very much in love with my mother.
Yeah.
After 28 years of marriage, she was going to leave him. She was involved in the married man. Till this day, she'll deny it. He was on the phone with her. They had separated, and he was on the phone with her. I was visiting that weekend, and he was begging, like I said, he was begging her not to leave him. And all I remember is that his partner had come over and yelled upstairs and said, "Hey, Tom, I got Chinese food," and yelled down and said, "Not right now. I am on the phone with Mary." And then he picked up the phone. The next thing I remember is him pulling, putting the gun to his head and pulling the trigger. After that, I know that my mother did not call the police, that he was not found till the next morning. He was a good man. You know, he was, to me, he was the neighborhood hero, you know, but he instilled so much good in me. Like, I have his heart, I have his dimples, I have, you know, everything good about him is in me. And that's, I think, what keeps me so grounded in retrospect to having such a positive attitude.
Yeah.
Is life can bring you down as long as you don't go down with it.
Absolutely. And you have not gone down. And, you know, he took himself down, but, you know, he didn't take anybody with him. And that's a sign of a good person, you know, who knows what went on in his mind when he did that. But the point is, he didn't take anyone else. He didn't take you with him. And you went on.
He was sick. I mean, he was a World War II vet. So he was already suffering from PTSD. He'd attempted it once before. So, I mean, I understand that. Was I affected by that?
Absolutely.
Do I have those traits? In a heartbeat, yes.
Of course. And all of that is part of what makes you who you are, which is why I bring it up, because it was such a kind of critical event, a painful event, but you know, you survived it, and you went on to some difficult years in high school, and you know, struggling with your feelings about your mom, but you're a great runner from what I hear. You're a good runner. You're good at running.
I'm still running. I'm still running. I said the bus hits me and the bus reversed, but I'm still here.
Wow. And I guess you got in and out of a lot of different things. One thing I do want to say is your grandmother was interesting. She was, as you call it, a lady of the night.
You know, I never met her, and my, again, something else my mother will deny. My grandfather was married 4 times.
Wow.
So her being the third wife, who being my mother's mother, my mother didn't meet her till years later and found out she was a woman of the night. I never had the opportunity to meet her. She's since passed. Unfortunately, you know, that's the things my mother didn't share with us. Like, if it wasn't proper or acceptable by anybody, then we didn't know.
To some degree, that was a function of the times, but you know, people kept so many skeletons in their closet in those days, and being a sex worker was just something that was very taboo.
The same stuff. Nobody just talked
about it. Now people talk about it more, and people find out.
Right.
You know, it's harder to keep secrets now. But you had a bad, I guess, losing your virginity, having first sex occasion, and your mother blamed you for
everything
that.
Everything was bad.
Or you didn't tell anybody because you were afraid your mother would blame you or something like that.
I didn't tell anybody. I guess when I go through my life, now, granted, I've had 5 car accidents in the last year.
Wow.
Who does that happen to? Like, how does that happen? Just the other night, I fell asleep in the rental and hit a parked car.
Maybe you shouldn't be driving. I don't mean to be bossy, but I mean, you shouldn't be driving.
No.
You should not be driving.
But you're right. No, I should be sleeping. I should be sleeping. But, you know, for me, I guess if I close my eyes, then I might not get to that next step. I don't know, like, you know, I have a lot of interesting sayings because I'm such a fighter. I'm just such a fighter, and I don't believe in the word can't. And if you tell me I can't, I'm going to tell you bullshit.
Wow.
But I have been through a lot, and some at my own hands.
Well, let's bring you over to California. I know you had a lot of stuff kind of in between, but now you come to California. I know you came to live with a brother that you hardly knew.
I did. So my brother offered to bring me out there and put me back in school and you know, pretty much, you know, give me another start, a fresh start. But I didn't know this brother. I knew nothing about him. So you're throwing, like, you know, a fish in with the bears.
Wow.
And he was very astute and very perfectionist. And not that, but when you put a perfectionist in with another perfectionist, you're gonna butt heads because you're too busy looking at your own. You don't want to look at your own flaws. So how can you accept them in somebody else? So that's pretty much the relationship, and you know, I got involved with the wrong crowd. I you know, committed a crime. You know,
what
I
crime?
Did some things I shouldn't have done.
What'd you do?
That was my first fraudulent charge. I took a check and tried to cash it at a check cashing place, and I wanted to get away. And I didn't know what to do, where to go. I had no resources. So
that's why we need socialism. But anyway, I digress. So you got to California, and he kicked you out, and then you had to make some real money and maybe actual, you know, non-forged checks. And so you applied to be a model. And even though you had some insecurities about your looks, I guess, in the past, but then you felt, I can do this. And you went to World Modeling Talent Agency.
Yes.
You met the famous Jim South. What was he like?
Yes. Jim, oh my gosh, I love Jim South. I just love him to death. He's very uplifting. He's very has a great sense of humor. He He just embraces you.
He's 90 years old right now.
He is. And looks wonderful.
No.
He absolutely looks wonderful. He still has this great sense of humor. You know, I'm sure if you could take him out of his body, he'd be like an 18-year-old. But he is. He's a super person. I stayed in touch with him over the years. You know, I always kind of had one foot in and one foot out. And he never closed the door on
aww.
Me.
I didn't know you stayed in touch with him. I thought you cut yourself off. But no.
No, I stayed in touch with Jim. A couple of other. Who else did I stay in touch with? I think that was pretty much. Yeah, that was probably pretty much it.
So when you went to this, audition, I guess, did you know it was nude modeling or?
Oh, absolutely. No, it was. They made commercials. They made commercials. Well, when I looked at the ad in the paper, it said, you know, if you want to be a model.
You thought you were going to sell soap or bleach
growing
or something.
Up.
Yeah,
I was an ugly duckling. So I didn't really look at myself as anything that you know, could even do that. But I said, what the hell? I'll try it. So little did I know that my ass was my beauty.
Your ass. Yeah.
It ain't the beauty, it's the booty.
Right.
Bad joke.
Are you able to show us the beauty of your booty? Can we see it and ask?
Oh my goodness.
Wait, there you are.
Hey, you show me yours, I'll show you mine.
Anytime, honey, anytime.
Well, here's mine.
I just recently gained like 10 pounds. Look, I gained 10
Well, let me
pounds.
Look. I can't
see. I'm not
see.
Used to carrying this.
Can you
see
that? Wow, nice.
Oh, wow, nice butt.
Very,
okay, now I'm up again.
Very fit. Yeah, very good.
Oh, look. Oh, nice. Can I touch it? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Susie? Can't have the face.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not. We didn't get it.
All right. So...
That's what you get for not thinking. I didn't think.
So this was a time, a different time. Ronald Reagan was president.
Oh, we think of Ron.
But you worked with Ron Jeremy. I'm just saying, I'm trying to set the scene in the early 80s.
I did work with Ron.
But
Ron, who used to, I think he did suck his, oh, there it is. That's the one I have, this one. I also have, yes, that Spanish Impression.
There you are in that great 80s outfit.
Oh, I miss Spanish them impression. So much. I miss them. You're going to make me cry.
Aww.
I actually am going to get up. Look, I love my family from the past.
Yeah.
I really do. And I don't think they realize that I actually embrace them as my family.
Oh, that's a funny picture.
It wasn't as crazy as I seen Ginger Lynn at the AVNs. I hadn't seen
Ginger
her.
Ginger Lynn.
And I cried. Her and Christy Canyon were there. And I cried when I saw Ginger. Look, and I'm like, thank you so much. These people took me under their wing. You know? But Ron was a character. He used to try and suck his own dick.
He did suck his own dick.
But he used to grow. Ron loves to grow.
That was before he gained.
But I'm mad at Ron. You tell him I'm mad at him. Because on two occasions, he could have come out to say hi to me. And he didn't.
Well, maybe he's in quarantine.
Well, maybe he's missing out on how I've perfected the deep throat, and he can't.
Yeah, he's probably just missing out.
So far you've named three people from the golden age of porn. It was sort of towards the end of the golden age of porn that you worked with that have been on this show. Ron Jeremy and Christy Canyon and Ginger Lynn, of course. Ginger Lynn was, in fact, on my show when we were raided by the LAPD.
No. Get out. I was with Tracy Lords when we were raided by...
Wow. Yeah, you had an interesting raid. And was it because of Tracy Lords?
Why did they raid you?
Tracy? Was she underage?
Yeah, it was because of Tracy.
She forged her own ID.
I didn't know they followed me to the set. Actually, I'm the car they followed to the set. I had no idea. I was in a rent-a-wreck.
Right. Wow. Wow. So you worked with a lot of interesting people. We're going to get into some of them. But since you did work with our old friend Ron Jeremy, I think we should look at one of your most famous films featuring Ron and Dick Rambone in Caught From Behind, number 4.
Maybe I can use them in my therapy. Dr. Sheldon, can I help you?
Hello, Dr. Sheldon. This is the hooker that was in your office the other day.
If you're a hooker, you wouldn't be in my office. I'm not in that kind of business.
The one who fucked you, but it wasn't you. It was your assistant's boyfriend. I don't know. It was some fucked
up
situation.
Sounds like a cuckold situation.
But anyways, what it was all about was anal sex.
Now that's my line of business.
Anal sex.
And what I need to know is if you think I could take 15 and a half cough from behind?
Yeah, make it hurt.
Wow. Look at that great 80s hair.
I know, and great 80s hair.
Bite that sheep. Bite it.
Oh,
yeah. Wow, yay!
You know, I still have,
Kelly
I
Richards!
Still have.
Wow!
I love your accent. When you say car keys, do you say it like khakis? Like khakis you wear? Like khaki pants?
I love how you bite the blanket.
Oh, God.
That was great.
That was just amazing.
I feel
and
like I
and
see
Dick
that
Rambone. Wow. I mean, he was as big as John Holmes. Was it really 15 and a half or 14 inches?
No, he really was.
See,
oh,
that's not
goodness.
in the internet. It says,
I think he was a little bit bigger. I know he
was. But you know he
John.
Was bigger than John Holmes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he was bigger than John.
And so
John was great. I made 5 movies with John Holmes.
And was he kind of shy, but also...
He is very, very sweetheart. He is my, even him, Jamie Gillis, God rest his soul.
Yeah.
And like John Leslie, they were such gentlemen. They were all around. They were such gentlemen. It was like, oh my God, I can't get enough for you.
Aww.
You're such a gentleman. You know?
See, there's another case of men who have a dominant kind of fetish or tendency, who are using it in a very positive, consensual way. You know,
Dr. Lust, it's your daughter.
Talking about how to do that, and they kind of knew how to do it instinctually. They could have taught a course, though. But you worked with a lot of amazing people, including we get to the next thing, though, anal sex. You were the anal queen. Maybe you still are.
You know what? I am. Yeah, absolutely. I am. What did Freddie Mercury say in his movie when they said, "You are a legend"? I am
all
the
right.
anal queen.
Testify, Sister Kelly.
Testify.
Say, I am the anal queen, and I am not ashamed.
I am the anal queen. I claim being the anal queen.
Get my title again.
I love it.
Give me anal sex. Give me a deep.
Testify, queen. Sister Kelly. I love it. So tell me, how did you become the anal queen? I mean, did you really like anal sex, or did you just like to show off that beautiful butt?
No, I think that they fed me Valium and said, here, you're doing an anal scene.
Wow.
What? You think what
so
happened?
So you were kind of just there to please.
You know, I think it was more that's what I had to show on my body.
You have beautiful tits, by the way.
Like I
don't
said, I
think of them as little. I think they're, I mean, I would say average size, and that's optimal. Beautiful. Yeah, let's,
my little tits,
okay, turn the Facebook camera away. They're so beautiful. Let's see. Yeah,
oh,
no, we turned it away. We turned it
body.
Away. Can we see them again? Yeah. Okay, Harry, get out of my way.
Harry,
okay.
We're
trying to look at tits,
Harry.
But you could take a picture of the tits, Harry.
Hey, tell Ronnie he can suck his own dick. My own tits.
Well, you know, that's good. But your hair gets in front of them when you do. Okay, so that's you have beautiful tits. They're very perky too, I might add. Yeah, but I mean, anyway, you know, there is a tendency of a lot of porn viewers to be, you know, big tit lovers and big tit.
You know, But that's interesting. Last week, Verona, when we had Verona, she said the exact opposite. She's like, in Europe, in Europe, it's more natural, and a lot of girls have smaller ones. So she was like, I think it's an American thing. You got to get obsessed with the big fake tits.
I think it is a mostly American thing. Maybe you could say almost an English thing, an Aussie thing, an American thing. I guess it's the insecurity of our men. They need their mamas. They need those big mama boobs.
And I thought I would have when after I
started
school.
They don't want a gal with just natural, sort of normal boobs. They want giant out of this world. But anyway, you attract men who like a real woman or a girl next door or, you know, an anal queen next door.
Anal queen. Because everybody has one of those next door, right?
Some people do. Or it's the fantasy that the girl next door will want to have anal sex with you. So how was your first time? Was it painful or was the person a gentleman?
My first time was in the movies. So
which movie?
Really? I want to say my first was with either Mark Wallace or Tom Byron.
So you,
I did a lot of anal with
anal.
Tom and Mark, especially DPs. Rick Savage. He was very gentle. You know who was great was Nina Hartley
love
was
Nina
my first
Hartley,
girl,
of course.
Right?
She's on.
I love Nina. And so when her and I did Billy D, my God,
Billy D,
oh my God, that was one of the greatest scenes I'd ever done was with them too. And but I think what it was is once other people noticed my ass, I started to notice it, because like I said, I was an ugly duckling.
You thought
school,
you were,
you know,
you were
yeah,
not
you
I'm
were.
Sure I am
You're
absolutely
your
sure you
critic.
Were not.
Well, even on the screen, like, if you know, my face wasn't anything great to look at back in the day. But
you
at
have
least
a beautiful
I had my
face,
ass.
And
so,
anyway, you really you do. You have an ethnic face. A lot of guys that like, you know, Italian girls or Jewish girls or Armenian girls or whatever, you know, would like you because you have that face, and it's very distinctive, and it's got a lot of personality. It's not a blank face. It's a face that tells you how it feels. And some guys don't like that. It's true. Some guys want a blank Barbie doll who just looks, you know, kind of like everything is the same. But you have a face that's very expressive. And that's, I think your fans just love that about you, that expressiveness. So anyway, love yourself. Don't you know it's Self-Love Month? And this is the climax of Self-Love Month.
Wait a minute. It's Mental Health Awareness Month. That's where
you know,
month I
mental
was
health
born
awareness
in.
Is good. And
oh, no, it's not just a coincidence. Mental Health Awareness
masturbation
Month and Masturbation Month is the same
masturbation
time.
Masturbation Month. Yeah, that's
right.
If people could be masturbating more, they would have better mental health. Duh. Hint for
you've
us.
You've had some challenges, I guess, to say, with mental health. And for a while, you were medicating yourself with street drugs, as they say.
I mean, I've been true to my drug. I say that.
Just coke.
I'm pretty cocaine.
Yeah.
Cocaine crack. You know, I was anorexic, so that was my drug of choice. Mm. It took everything away. How do I put this? So drugs is a choice. That's all it is for me. It's a choice. I can either choose to pick up or choose not to.
And you have been choosing not to lately?
Oh, yeah. I haven't.
For how long?
I haven't. 7.5 years.
Wow.
Oh, 7.5 years.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But you didn't lose your sex drive, your kinkiness.
Oh,
you
no,
didn't
no.
lose that.
You know, I never mix drugs with sex. That was the whole thing.
That's interesting.
I don't even come near me when I'm doing drugs. Don't even touch me. I don't even want to talk to you. Get out of my car. If you start tweaking, leave me alone.
So when you were doing the porn, you were doing drugs, but not during the porn shoots. More
right.
at
it
other
was at,
times.
Like after the shoots or You know, it's funny you say that, because now I'm looking back and thinking, yeah, you're right. Because for the most part, you don't show up when you do drugs.
Well,
you don't show up. You don't suit up.
It's not a good idea.
But back in the day, we showed up.
Yeah.
And we would be up partying all night.
Well, you got to say it's a work ethic to show up, you know.
We didn't have to suit up. We just showed up.
Yeah, no, hey, that's true. You didn't have to suit up. You just showed up.
Yeah, it was a big part. You know, and this is no secret. I've been to federal prison. You know, there's choices.
And it
choices.
Was also forgery or something like, right?
What's that?
Was that also a forgery charge or something?
Yes, fraud. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Robbing, you know, again, I'm not going to justify my actions of robbing Peter to pay Paul, because, yeah, you can rob Peter all day to pay Paul, but you're still robbing.
Yeah, and I'm not going to talk about how we should end capitalism, but yeah.
Right, you know. Right. But, you know, Jim Self said something to me coming back, because a lot, when I first came back, I had a lot of negative people say to me, you know, it's not like it used to be, Kelly. You're not 22 anymore. You'll never make it. Nobody's going to book you, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, those are words that empower me. Uh-huh. So, but I called Jim one day because somebody made a claim that I was doing drugs and I wasn't. And I said, you know, I'll admit to my wrongs. I have no problem owning my own shit. I don't need someone else to put it out there. So, Jim said, Kelly, look, if you put 95% or even 99% of porn sex workers in a room, probably only 1% has ever not done drugs or been to jail. And it made sense to me, you know, that and that's the attitude I maintain, that nobody's better than the next one.
Yeah.
You know, we all have a message to share with others, but we all have to help each other too.
Yeah, we all do have our issues. And yeah, that's very bonobo. We all have to help each other. So I do want to play another little clip because this one is fun to me because it features Vanessa Del Rio.
Oh, goodness.
In a double penetration movie where she is playing Dr. Lust.
Oh, yes. I have to put my glasses on. You know, I've never seen any of my movies.
Hello, Dr. Lust. This is Oliver.
Oh, wow.
And what can I do for you?
Well, I've always had this fantasy that I'd like to try to live out. I just don't know if I should or not. Right at this moment, I have the perfect situation to make it happen. I just don't know if I should.
Well, at least you know what you want. Most people don't even know that. So what's your fantasy?
Well, my boyfriend has a real sexy friend over right now. They're watching the baseball game. We have
a take a break from the game for a minute, everybody. I got some news.
Oh, there he is. Hi.
You see this gorgeous peach that I hear?
Yeah.
You know Olive well, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Well, she's got
movies.
This fantasy. Don't ask me where it came from. But I guess she had the hots for you for a while, buddy, and she wants to kind of fool around.
Watch drsusanblock.com/live to see this. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Really?
I miss these guys. You have no idea.
Vanessa,
I love how both of the clips that we showed, not by anything on purpose, start with you on the phone. It is good foreplay to be on the phone.
It's one thing I hate today, the phone.
Well, the phones are different now. But yes. Vanessa Del Rio, yeah, I've met her a few times in New York. She is fantastic. We haven't had her on the show yet, though.
Show.
I met her at some parties, and hi, Vanessa, we want you on the show.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Vanessa.
Yeah, hi, Nina, we'll have you back. Hi, Ron, she'll get you back.
We'll get you back.
Oh, gosh. You've worked with so many amazing people, and you have, you know, you only did it for 2 years. That's what's crazy. And then, you know, you suddenly left.
I did.
And I mean, wow, we're almost out of time, kind of, so I can't go through your whole life that you went through. You had a child.
Well, you know, it's all going to come out in an autobiography that I'm writing right now with a co-author, Jim Steele.
Okay.
And where can the
anything
viewers
you missed
find
on the show.
Uh-huh.
Where can the viewers find your biography?
So the biography is currently in the makings right now. We're writing, and it should be out hopefully by the end of this year, if not the first of next year, before the Avian, before I become the next MILF of the year.
MILF of the year,
or make it into the Hall of Famers. No,
I was
but
say.
It should be out then. We're working on a title. I don't know. I'm throwing titles out there like Everybody's Dirty Little Secret. I think I am. I also just got the websites. Of course, this again, it's all new to me. So we have www.kellyriches.com. And it also has links on it that takes you to the AVN Stars and AIA and Instagram and all other places you can find me. And right now, where you can absolutely find me is, I'm currently, I have my map up behind me. I don't know if you guys can see it.
Yes, no, we see your map.
I have my map up behind me.
The whole country.
So I am commuting right now. I'm from Houston. So I'm going up to Arkansas, Tennessee, Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Boston, and New York. If you want to meet me or see me, then you send me a message on Twitter. And if I'm passing through your town, I absolutely will stop and meet you.
And we just got a message from Juxley saying, Vanessa Del Rio was just surprisingly insightful. Yes, well, you know, she had some good things to say there that at least you knew what you wanted. I think that's what he was referring to. That's the beginning, because a lot of people don't know what they want. But in any case, so you are doing all kinds of things. Doesn't sound like you're quarantining, young lady. Not at all.
Wait,
I hope you have a mask.
Crazy.
Are you wearing a mask?
I quarantine in my vehicle.
Oh, no.
That's when I quarantine in my vehicle.
Do you have a mask?
I do have a mask. I do,
do you
because
wear
I work
it?
In the medical field. One thing, I work in the medical field too.
That, okay.
I went back to school once I got out of, while I was incarcerated, I got my associates. And then when I got out, I went back to school and I'm working on my BSN in nursing. So I was fortunate, yes, as a felon to get a job in a hospital in the cardiothoracic surgery department.
Good for
on
you.
On the administration side.
Okay, but that still doesn't make you like exempt. But yeah,
I was trying
that's
to land
great.
Myself a doctor.
Yeah.
That was the only way I could do
so wait,
it.
You.
Dr. Bonobo says, wear your mask.
While you were incarcerated, you got an associate, and then after you said you went. You got
so
a BS?
Got my associates in health sciences. Mm-hmm.
So you got a BS?
No, I'm working on my BSN
in
nursing.
You're working on, okay.
Yeah, I'm far from like
so
that. I went back to school.
Merry Masturbation Month.
Yes, I have my trustee.
Do you have your trustee? Should we climax Masturbation Month? Wow. Okay,
right?
So we should do a little Masturbation Month climax.
Can
and
we
now,
see?
Yeah, well, now we have moved the Facebook camera, so you can give us a show. And
I don't. I'm gonna have to get a pillow to give you a show.
Yeah.
Hey, nice.
A
outfit.
Little show. Yeah. So now we're looking at Kelly's
we'll get on
chair.
Charlie. Here's Charlie. This is my companion.
Oh, there you go. Wait, sit on a bear.
With. My travel partner, Charlie.
I bet you
have
a
DeNovo
bear.
Wow. Okay.
There we go.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're good to go? Can you see?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. Pull it aside. But let me see those beautiful boobs. Pull the boobs
out.
You
want to see the boobs? Look at this. Is like way. Okay. We're going to have to... Charlie, get out of there.
Nice.
Mm. Like them?
Hard nipples.
Yeah.
Yes. What a MILF. Look at that body. I mean, you might have your body issues, but you look fantastic. Really, just... You certainly don't look your age.
Right?
Not at all. Not at all. You're certainly a masturbation object. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are masturbating looking at you right now. On DrSusanBlock.com/live, you Facebook people
show.
That can't watch it on Facebook. You can look at Kelly's amazing ass right now. Oh my God, and that beautiful body, those sweet chichis and perfect waist, no fat, you know, just a little womanly curve and stuff. Yeah, and Merry Merry Masturbation Month.
Merry Merry Masturbation.
Kelly Richards is so sexy. And that vulva does look, can you move your camera down a little bit? Or
can I move the camera down? Show.
We're trying to see the vulva
you
there.
Want the camera down?
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Or stand up or something. Okay, yeah. No, okay. I can't see it.
Okay, you want to see it right here?
There you go. Wow. Okay. Merry Masturbation Month. So I see your thumb now, though. Big thumb. Yeah.
Thumb.
This is not working out well. Thumb you have.
Oh, no, no. It is working well. This is what you call teasing. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Whoa. Oh, wow. Oh, that's fantastic.
Wait, we just lost power again.
Oh, you lost power. But we did get a great shot of pure.
Wait, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you this shot if it kills me. Hold on.
Yeah.
We lost power.
Somehow we're in the dark. Okay.
How did we lose power?
All right. It's terrible to lose power on Masturbation Month.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Hey, we lost power.
So you need to just now. Don't.
See?
What are you showing here? Okay.
Oh, I don't know, but I don't even know what I'm lying on. What?
Because
this?
I'm masturbating now.
Oh, look at that!
Oh yeah. Ooh, feels so good. Oh, there's Kelly now.
Oh yeah.
Let's come together.
Come on,
Kelly. Come on, Kelly Richards. Come on. There, you look great. Oh, yeah. Woo! Ah.
Look at all the stuff in the bag.
Yeah, oh, yeah. All that stuff. Nice body.
Look at that, huh? Here we go.
Nice bush, baby.
Right?
We're not talking about either of the Georges. This is Kelly's bush. Okay, whoa.
This is like close up in front.
Oh, it looks beautiful. Your bush looks fantastic. And
so.
Ooh, very pink pussy. Yeah. Nice lips. Oh, yeah. Oh, beautiful. And your toy is going in. Is it vibrator? Is it vibrating?
Oh, yeah. It's vibrating.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, yeah. Oh, how long will it take you to come? I wouldn't know if you faked it.
You know what? I'm going to come the next time I'm in your studio.
Yeah. Oh, well, then I'm just going to come right while I'm talking to you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Merry Masturbation Month.
Woo-hoo! I'm sending them all out with blue balls.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, I don't have blue balls because I just had a really nice
it's vibrating.
Orgasm.
There you are.
Oh, yeah. Just looking at Kelly Richards and playing with my
Hitachi. Look, I told you technology is a mess.
Yeah, well, I had a very technology-enhanced orgasm, being able to see you through the power of Zoom. And, of course, there's the power of Hitachi.
Where are you?
I love it. Okay. So anyway, where are you now? Did
That's
she disappear?
I'm looking for you.
We can hear her.
Where are you? Aww. Oh, wait. Is that you? Yeah, there you are. Oh, God, look.
We can see you.
Oh, all kind of naked scenes. I'm sitting here naked.
Okay. Oh, you're naked. Oh, nice.
Oh,
I like it. Okay, so I have 7 minutes. All right. So we could look at a clip of you masturbating. Let's show that. Let's show the clip.
Okay. Kelly Richards is back. Better than ever. God.
Wow. Oh my God. Merry Masturbation Month.
Yeah. Let's finish that up. Ooh. Kelly, you a nasty girl.
She is. Love the stocking.
Yeah. Stocking.
Oh, wow. This is amazing. This is the way to climax masturbation month, regardless of what's happening in the world. And important things are happening, but this is important. This is important, and this is inspirational. Kelly,
you know, it's
just
crazy. I'm really upset about everything that's happened. I watched the clip with Lloyd. I think that's so unfortunate that some policemen, and I have a couple people, I have a couple friends that are policemen in New York, and
your dad was a policeman. Yeah.
That they say themselves that, you know, there's some really bad cops out there, and that's not okay. What they did to him and being a felon, what they did to him was not okay. And I'm glad there, because I would have jumped that cop. I would have jumped
and
him.
Amen and amen.
The fact that
I'm all for peace. I'm a very bonobo person. But sometimes, you know, if you see, obviously, someone killing someone, you got to do what you can.
Right.
He was killing him. And that's a very bottom line thing, even for those of us that don't want complete overhauls of the system. We have to be able to get rid of bad cops more easily, more quickly. It seems like these bad cops just keep getting recycled. This guy had done many things before this. And this was, you know, the worst thing, but he'd done some other terrible things. And he should have been fired a long time ago, if not arrested, for some of the other things that he did. I think, you know, we're all affected, whether we're priests or porn stars.
Right. Well, I agree.
I opened up. Anybody watches it and they're affected.
Yeah.
God, what's that?
Yeah, it is. I opened up a page on my Facebook. It's called The Voice for You. Took me 54 years to have a voice.
Wow.
And I want to work with those that suffer from mental illness, children, because I think that they deserve to have a voice. And
there's a lot of suffering from that.
When I came back, a lot of porn stars either a suicide or overdose, and it's okay to speak up. It's okay to say no. It's okay to not do what somebody you think somebody wants you to do.
Absolutely.
I did it for many years. I did what everybody else wanted me to do, and I was miserable. Absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
I was, you know. So you have a voice.
You did
in
a
me.
Lot of that.
Yeah. Anytime any of my coworkers out there, young ladies or any young males, need to talk or just to shoot the shit, want to know the truth, call me or reach out to me.
Okay. All right. Well, you're on Facebook and you're on Twitter and you're easy to find now. So many people couldn't find you for a while.
I know.
Kelly Richards,
so
that song was done about you, you know, by the Gin Blossom.
They're coming to Houston on June 6th. I'm going to the concert. So look out, because Kelly Richards will probably be on stage with them.
Wow.
Okay. Awesome.
So God willing that the concert does
at a
happen.
Gin Blossoms concert? Is that?
Yes. Yes. They're coming to Houston.
Now, what does he mean when he said, I got a gun? He says he has a gun.
Yeah, he got a gun. It comes down to me or you. Now there's just one thing left to do. I didn't know about the song till the early 2000s. And I tried to reach out, and that's when I found out that he had took his own life. And so, crazy.
The guy that wrote the song.
Yes, Doug Hopkins. Yeah.
Doug Hopkins. But that's not who's performing it.
He's in it, singing it. You know what it is? They were just having fun one day. They were just having fun.
How did
one
he
day.
Take his own life and now he's doing a concert? Wait.
No, he's not doing the concert. Gin Blossom, the band, is doing the concert.
Okay, okay.
The actual band. Yeah.
Well, okay. So now we got to go because we're running out of time and you are so interesting.
Well, I can drive there. I'll be there. We'll go back on tomorrow.
Love to have you on again, Kelly.
I love you. Thank you so
Absolutely.
Much. I had so
we
much
love
fun.
You. And good luck to you in becoming, you know, the MILF of the year or whatever you want. I mean, you seem so driven and positive about it, and we're rooting for you.
Thanks. I love you guys. Okay. Thank you so
love
much.
You. All right. If you're watching us on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. Subscribe to
and
both my
like.
Channels. And of course hit like. Like or thumbs up. And follow the bonobo way. You know, make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Hold the police accountable, but make love to someone you love. Merry Masturbation Month, even if that someone is you. I love you.
Talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination. My world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo. And help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.
With someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, you can talk with us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination. My world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, and fantasize with you. And no fantasy is too taboo. And we help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. If you've never called before, don't be embarrassed. We all need help with sex at one time or another. Even world leaders do. Maybe especially world leaders do. But I'm not going to tell you which ones. So, when you need to ask a question or play out a fantasy or just talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, call us at 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk. Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, and I've just written a new book called The Bonobo Way, inspired by my love for the Make Love, Not War great apes. You know, the ones who have a lot of sex in a bonobo sutra of positions, including face-to-face. But it's not just how bonobos have sex. It's how they use sex to prevent murder and war. Really. They're the only great apes that have never been seen killing each other. They practice what I call peace through pleasure, with the females gently dominating the very happy, very sexually satisfied males. Bonobos are special, partly because they just are, and partly because they're very, very close to us, almost 99% genetically similar to us. When it comes to being human,
even being humane. Bonobos can teach us so much. Which brings me to us, and more specifically to you. Is your inner bonobo longing to swing free? Would you like to tap into the hot, natural sex energy within you? Bet you would. So you can better enjoy the pleasures in life and cope with the pain. You know, the pain. And have more orgasmic, organic, sustainable sex. Who doesn't want that? Greater lust, greater trust, and better anger management. And who couldn't use a little bit of that these days? So get the book, Learn the Bonobo Way. You'll be glad you did. Then you'll want to join Bonoboville, a new global village for bonobo lovers and friends. And one last thing. The real bonobos are highly endangered, so a portion of all book sales go to bonobo conservation groups working to save the wild bonobos from extinction. Read The Bonobo Way and learn why this could be the most important eco-sexual movement of our times. And improve your love life.